The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesday, June 6, 2022, and this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the officially licensed and named Podzilla 1985 Network. Is it licensed? I don't think that's true.
It is not licensed. No.
We own nothing. Literally own nothing. Anyone with a couple of dollars, a couple of bucks could pop in here and just take over.
I would sell this entire 7-year history network to anyone for like $20, honestly.
You would sell the whole thing for a bottle of Wild Turkey
I'm drinking it right now, and you are correct. Yes, hold on. Give me a second.
Is it really Wild Turkey?
Yeah, I got to take care. It is. I got to take care of this. Hold on.
Something. Can we do the saddest episode of Prices Right and figure out how much a bottle of Wild Turkey costs?
$20.
It might be more than
20.
Oh, is it
$20?
Too much.
$20.
Too much. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Of course, Mr. 100. And with me, we've got Double H, the original general manager of CCW and the original host of PW.
Yeah, I was supposed to be on another show, but they canceled on me, so I'm here tonight.
And, wow, what a coincidence. Also with us tonight, the Big D himself, Dalton Anthony.
I also was supposed to be scheduled on another podcast tonight, and I got scheduled, they canceled and blocked me.
I'm glad we're not referencing it. All right. So
he already referenced it. We're not saying their name.
Dalton, special guest with us here tonight.
I don't know it.
Good.
No one does.
That's why I didn't tell you, because you guys would say the name. Just the fact that it happened is funny.
I'm pretty sure I've got more followers on my personal Instagram than this guy has on his show, so I'm not worried about it.
Let's find out.
Anytime I go to someone's page and...
Damn it.
He got you with his logic. Of course, tonight's episode of PW is once again sponsored by American Hostile Championship Wrestling's next show in Hayti, Missouri on July 2nd. From their Facebook page, this is all capitalized, of course. This is big HCW event with a free fireworks show afterwards. Also, the gate will open at 3. Bounty houses for kids, ladies and gentlemen. Vendors on hand, concessions. And we're also looking to add a beauty pageant. So if you're from Hayti, bring your prettiest pig to the show. And perhaps you too can win the beauty pageant. Bring it back the 4th of July celebration to Hayti. All right. Thank you. Hopefully the Ukraine kid will be there.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Oh. Welcome back, Dalton.
What a roller coaster.
Things have changed since you left.
Oh my God.
You and Asa build the bridges, and we come along with the gasoline and the matches. And just,
oh my God!
It's just that clip of Eddie Kingston walking around with that gas can. He's about to set some shit on fire.
Dalton's just Brian Danielson laying in the ring, like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, you're acting. I am Brian Danielson right now. You're just dumping it on me, like you're trying to burn that. I'm right here.
To be fair, Dalton and I have a long history of pissing off burning bridges. You remember, Dalton, really quick story, when CCW was working with Sinclair, and you and I did that show where we tore Sinclair apart, how many people from CCW and management were messaging us going, "You can't do this show," and we said, "Don't believe me, just watch," and then we did it.
And then we did it. Now we're getting copyrighted.
And then the SNL bit, "You can't, please don't do that." Okay, but we will. And then, we did already.
I'm not saying that's the reason we stopped working with Sinclair, but we don't work with him anymore, so who knows?
Ooh, all right, that was spicy. That was a good open, Shannon.
Delicious, like, honey.
I haven't been on PW in like a... Well, no, we did the WrestleMania crossover.
But let's be fair.
We're on our best behavior when Ace is around.
That's what I was just about to say. Ace was on that show.
That's the difference.
And when Dad's on the show, we all make sure our shirts are straight and we got them buttoned and stuff. But Ace is not here to stop us tonight, so let's see what happens. As we like to start off every week here on PW, as a counterpoint to our good friends over at Nerdiest Part of the Ring, which Dalton, you know very well, as you are one of the hosts of Nerdiest Part of the Ring. Check them out, of course. As we tell, legitimately, I'm not even just saying this, every show we always tell people, go listen to Nerdiest Part of the Ring. It's better. but it's not as fun, because we get wild here. You guys, you like to start off every week with power positivity, something positive in the world of wrestling that you want to talk about just to spread some goodwill. Here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, we take the opposite approach. We like to talk about the things that we hate in wrestling this week that drive us crazy. And Hunter, my first thing, of course, is Kane. It's Kane!
God fucking damn it!
God, it's Kane!
Was that yours too?
Yeah, it's fine. I got another one.
Okay, and we can co-promote this one. So Kane today decided...
Why did you say it like you were on that Instagram account? I said you guys are like, while Kane was out there at the Rite Aid in the parking lot.
There's what is that website? It was called Funny or Die, the Will Ferrell website. They did a skit with Mike Tyson playing Herman Cain years ago when he was running for president. And just the way Mike Tyson would say, Cain, has always stuck with me. So anyway.
I like that you clarified Herman Cain years ago. Well, it's not him now.
It's certainly not him now. I mean, he won the Herman Cain Award.
So. Herman Cain sounds like this.
Inaugural winner.
Oh, God damn it, Hunter. I want you to be quiet because he's dead.
Wow. Way to bring it down, Captain Bring Down.
Sir.
I like that you explained the joke, and now it's funnier.
Kane, who is the mayor of... No, Kane's not the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. No,
Glenn Jacobs
is the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. He posted to Twitter and said, "Every violent death is a tragedy. That said, the mainstream media would have you believe that America is the land of gun violence and mass shootings, when in fact, as Hannah D. Cox points out," that's a fake name, "our per capita rates of gun deaths are actually much lower than many other countries." Okay, Kane, I see you.
Here's the problem. He should have stopped before he started saying "that said." Like, that's just end it after that first sentence, and no one, that's it. All right. Thanks for coming. What else we got this week? Where it should stop.
This is another reason I'm glad Ace is not on this show, because like every time we talk about Kane, it breaks his heart.
That's why I clarified.
Yeah.
Glenn Jacobs, right. Not Kane. They're not the same person.
Well, X-Pac's the one that shared it and said, "What the fuck, man?" So like that's how I saw it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I've got it.
I said X-Pac and not Sean Waltman.
That got me. I like that it was probably in all lowercase with no punctuation.
No,
breaks my heart reading this shit from you period. What the or WTF, man? !
He said that boy said dot instead of period. I can't with this dude.
Also, Lance Storm replied and said, "So you're saying all of these deaths, including the 19 kids in Uvalde, are at an acceptable rate of tragedy and nothing needs to be done?" It's an acceptable rate, Hunter. The ratio's not off.
So, right. It's the Call of Duty thing that we do regularly. It's working as intended.
It's working as
intended.
As
long as it's working as intended, right. That's all you got to worry about.
Yeah.
So, Kane, yeah, if we had a motherfucker of the week this week, you would definitely be it. But that's the thing I hate most about. I'm not one of those people that says if you're an entertainment guy or if you're a sports guy, keep your opinion to yourself. Everybody should express their opinions. But I don't like when people express stupid opinions. And, Kane, that is a very stupid opinion. Like, Jesus fuck. We're not going to turn this to a political show. I'm not going to turn this into No Turning Back with Shannon Young, which you can catch once or twice a month, depending on how I feel. But that is. I wish Kane would just chokeslam people and shut the fuck up at this point. Anyway, that's my hated thing this week.
You could have just ended it at choke. Like, I'd have been fine with that.
Choke me, daddy. All right, Hunter, So
I have two things that I wanted to talk about, but I can limit it to one, and I want to see if Dalton's extra is not that. So make Dalton go next. Dalton, you
okay,
go next.
Okay, Dalton. Welcome to the show. First time, long time listener, first time caller. What is the thing you hate most in this week in wrestling?
I hate the shitty take that just because Cody Rhodes wrestled with a torn pec, CM Punk having a broken foot isn't that major of a deal. I've seen that take more than once, and every time I'm like, that's not the point.
Right.
That's not what you think it is. Because I've seen that a few times, and it's the thought process of, well, fuck, CM Punk wrestled with a torn pectoral muscle, so, like, CM Punk should be able to wrestle through a broken foot. That's not how that works. They're not even the same injury. Yeah, so many things wrong with that thought. And I know we're probably going to get into it in a little bit, but since you took Glenn Jacobs from me, like, that's the most annoying thing.
Hey, Dalton, Dalton, you can have him back. I don't want him.
No, I don't. I don't want him.
Glenn Jacobs.
Let
me piggyback on that and hit you with what is probably going to be a controversial take, because this was one of the things I was going to talk about to a degree. I hate interim champions. I don't like interim champions. I understand that that's people like that, and I understand there's not really a big difference between vacate the title and have an interim champion and then just have them, you know, combine them when they come back. I don't know, man. It just doesn't sit right with me. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird that this one guy's going to sit out for a little while with the belt and then come back and they're going to... It's like... I hesitate to say the word real sports, but like in non-scripted sporting events, I get it. It makes sense. In scripted ones where this is going to force you into an angle, a storyline, when that person comes back, that might not make sense with whoever is the champion at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't have like a big hatred for it. This is why I didn't want to make it my main thing, but it doesn't say it right.
Let me hit you with something, and Dalton too. CM Punk's a little bitch because he broke his foot. Kerry Von Erich wrestled without a foot. So
that's not the argument you think it is. He shouldn't have been doing that.
What's your excuse, CM Punk?
What was homeboy's name? He wrestled without an entire leg.
Zach Gowen.
There it is. I kept thinking of Zach Sabre Jr. and I was like, that ain't it.
No, he makes
two legs and he's very tall. That's not the one.
Say, he makes other people not have legs. That's his thing.
He wrestle real good.
Oh god.
All right, I got a real one for you. Here's a real thing that I hate. I actually just saw this a little bit ago. So I don't know how to phrase it as I hate this, but I'm just gonna tell you the situation. We all know that Dark Side of the Ring is like in flux right now, right? Like Vice didn't say it was coming back, and they didn't announce a new season, and it very much looked like they may have gotten a little trouble for kind of misrepresenting some things or making people look bad, and so they might not be doing it. Then Vice came back, and they're like, no, we're definitely doing it. Well, I don't know if you saw this. WWE is teaming up with the guys who created Dark Side of the Ring for a new Vice TV series. They are like letting them have any run of their archives that they want. They're working on some stuff with Stone Cold. I don't like it.
This is
WWE being like, hello, fellow kids. Like, we're going to step in and take care of this for you. No way it's as good as it was. No. WWE does some great documentaries. Don't get me wrong.
That's true.
And Dark Side of the Ring did some great stuff. But I feel like they're making it look like a partnership when in reality it seems like it's more like a we'll take it from here. Just get out of the way.
It's a
sanitized version of everything.
Yeah.
I hope it's Vice presents. WWE is not a bad company to work for, guys.
That's exactly what it's going to be. See, the reason that everyone liked Vice's Dark Side of the Ring is because the guys that made it weren't beholden to any wrestling company or corporation. They could tell whatever story they want, and they could talk about
whatever they wanted on, as long as that, you know, that person's company allowed them to, which is why you didn't get a lot of WWE guys on there.
Right.
Now it feels like it's going to be the opposite. As soon as WWE steps in, it's got to be in the I hate it, the WWE universe.
Stop
it's got
it.
To be something in that Stop. Little that little orbit.
So we're going to get a Dark Side of the Ring of the Finger Poke of Doom. And that's what it's like. It's going to be stupid shit like that. I've listened to that podcast from 80 different people. I'm good.
Right.
Also, do you guys remember the whole Ultimate Warrior thing where A&E used to do the WWE documentaries? I don't think I watched any of those, but they did theirs like within the same month that Vice did their Ultimate Warrior one. And Dana Warrior went out and called it smut and filth. And it's like, all right, firsthand, your husband, your dead husband. Was a not good
Shannon,
person.
Remind us all what he said at that little commencement address or whatever it was he gave at school.
Happy Pride Month, Dalton. Tell him what it was.
I believe per Warrior, this is a quote, queering don't make the world work.
Queering don't make the world.
Yeah, that was the one.
I would like to know what Dana Warrior stands on that.
Yes. The Bastion of the Warrior Award given to someone who is an example, a shining example in their community.
I really hope that she is like somewhere right now really pissed off about it. Mainly because I just don't like her.
That her name is Dana Warrior.
Dana Warrior.
Come on.
JTG won the Warrior Award instead of going into the Hall of Fame proper. Oh, that's you're right, Shad.
You're good.
JTG was, but the reason I said JTG was because, you know, it would have been really good to have his, like, old tag partner do the speech instead of Dana Warrior, who probably never fucking met that guy.
I really hate
the Warrior Award.
I would love to know what the Warrior's thoughts were on black people. I'm sorry that he's no longer around to say it. I'm sure.
No, you're not.
I'm sure it was classy and well done, as well done as the Ukraine kid versus Norman Meklikov with Mr. Mago.
Hot, well thought, well hot, thought out.
Hot feud coming soon. It drew so
fully
many flies.
Researched.
All right. Anyway, so that's the things we hate in wrestling this week. Hate. Let's talk about the actual wrestling news really quick. And I think we should start with, well, Hunter, let's start with MJF. We devoted the entire show last week to MJF, and hopefully Jesse doesn't pop in tonight randomly at the end unexpectedly. That's why we have Dalton here.
For his sake, he was very confused.
He was
so lost. All right, so I mean, in terms of updates, I don't know that there's been a terrible lot. The main things to keep in mind are outside of, and everybody knows the story, I'm not gonna recap the whole thing. The short version of it is MJF is not there. They're definitely doing a worked version of what looks like a shoot angle where he's out. The most recent stuff has been he's been pulled from the intros for the show.
Yes.
They pulled his merch from the website. They pulled him from the website. Tony Khan refuses to comment on it in public. Like, he hits him with a no comment. Supposedly now they're like trying to leak the story that he's trying to get into acting, that MJF is trying to get into acting, and it's a whole thing there. What else? There was another thing, at least. There was the promo. We talked about the promo already. Basically, he's just not been referenced at all on the shows, which, to be fair, is good in the sense that they didn't immediately dump the whole idea and scrap it. But you and I both kind of went hard on this whole angle last week. I still don't like it. I still think it's stupid. I don't love the throwing him right out there for a promo right out of the gate. Here's what I'm really concerned about, if I can just throw this out there as part of the discussion. This CM Punk thing is going to lead to MJF coming back sooner than he should be.
And winning the title.
This Punk being out, yeah, he's going to be part of that interim champion situation, whether he is the champion or is going for it, and that's going to lead to them hot-shotting this angle way too fast. If you're going to do it, go all in. That's what I'm worried about.
I think Punk versus MJF would be pretty good. I think it would be good.
It already happened.
Yeah.
A bunch.
I think it would be good. I do want to mention one thing, and then I want to get Dalton's thoughts on it. And actually, that's why one of the reasons I brought it up, because I want to know what Dalton's thoughts are on this. But before I do want to mention that, of all people, Hulk Hogan tweeted about this. He tweeted about this whole thing. He said, "Good night, Hulkamaniacs and jabroni marks without a life that don't know it'll work when you work and work yourself to a shoot marks." And really, I don't think anyone has really
put... What else is there to say?
You could bury the whole thing at that point.
The bit, actually, though, does remind me that there was one other thing to mention. Jake Roberts commented on it and was very much like, "This is disrespectful. He missed a signing." And it was the moment he mentioned the signing that I was like, "Oh, man, they even got Jake. They got Jake to comment on it. Wow, okay. All right." And I get it. I know there are people at this point who are like, "You guys would be, like, in a house fire going, 'Wow, man, this is realistic. Like, okay, when are you going to turn the nozzles off?'" But seriously, like, is anyone really still buying this?
Nor am I looking forward to it if it leads to fucking Tony Khan being a regular character on television. Please, God, no. Dalton, what are your thoughts on this whole MJF situation?
I mean, obviously, this is all, like, a work, because at the end of the day, nobody that owns a TV show that's any aspect of live is going to run the risk of someone going out and saying what he said unless they knew 100% that he was going to do it. Also, and this was like something I saw yesterday or today, this morning, Paul Scheer, the comedian, he took his family to that show. Like, him, his wife, and his kid went to that show. And he was like, he said two things. Like, it was, "My kid did not know what to think of a crowd full of people yelling, 'You fucked up.'" He was like, my kid has heard like swears, but he has never heard, in like almost a cult-like sense, thousands of people yelling the F word. And then he said, like, and then this guy comes out and starts saying shit and fucking all this on a microphone. And like, we just started giving my kid prizes to maybe hope that he doesn't like remember it. And it's one of those, like, that's something that I don't think about, because like, I don't have a kid, I don't have a kid, nor do I go to wrestling shows with a kid. Like, yeah, that is something that I probably wouldn't want my children like going to see live.
This is something we kind of touched on last week. To add to that, you know, it's not just the language and all that, but specifically the situation. how do you draw in, and not everything has to draw in new fans, I get it, but how do you draw in new fans with an angle that takes place almost entirely on the internet?
Yeah.
How do you do that? I mean, what we're talking about right now is something that happened almost exclusively
on the dirt sheets.
News and notes on dirt sheets. Again, my solution to it at the end of that show was just don't reference it at all.
Right.
You don't have to reference it at all. The guy didn't show up for a thing. That's bad.
Move on.
But then you paid him off and you got it. You got him back and he worked the show and everything's good. We're good. Move on. There's no reason to turn this into a story.
I'll tell you exactly why they did it. It's because whenever the initial reports came out that MJF had missed the signing, they saw the internet's interest in it, and they based so much of what they put on TV on the internet's interest.
You mean Tony Khan.
This is one of Jim Cornette's biggest criticisms of AEW since the beginning. And even though Jim Cornette and I don't always see eye to eye on a lot of things, I think he is right in this sense. The AEW is they're playing to their audience that they already have, and they're not building a new audience. You know, Eric Bischoff's also criticized it. And you remember how Tony Khan went off on him. And I think the only reason Tony Khan doesn't go off on Jim Cornette the same way he does go off on Bischoff is because Tony Khan has said before many, many times that he looks up to Jim Cornette, which Jim Cornette finds to be very funny because he doesn't follow any of the things he would teach him. But they're just playing to a crowd they've already got. They're not building an audience, and they're confusing people who don't know or don't care about what happens backstage, Dalton.
But we've had this exact same conversation about AEW since AEW started. Because whenever we started watching AEW and you were like, what's that? I was like, oh, it's a reference to being the elite. And they would do a bunch of that.
Yeah.
And like, it's fine when they're the ones producing it. But this, like what we were just said, it's all based on dirt sheet stuff. So, like, honestly, was that promo good? I mean, it was shocking.
Yeah. And it was a good promo. It was a good promo, fundamentally.
I mean, maybe in the bare bones of it, but, like, at the end of the day, I watched it and I went, oh, it was bleeped? Cool. So they knew, like, they either had a tape delay, which is fucking smart, because, like, Jon Moxley straight up got one through one time. So, like, they may, like, but at the same time, there's no way he
almost
didn't know that was going to happen. Like, it was
almost
this is,
no TV runs without a delay, just as a technical record. And I can say this as a guy with a degree in it. Almost no TV, no radio, nothing live. There's nothing live. Nothing is live. Everything's on it.
There's
at least
second
an
delay.
8 second delay.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7 to 8. I think 8 is the industry standard now, but yeah, there's nothing.
But, like, that's why I said, like, Moxley somehow got one through, because he did. Like, I was watching that one live.
Right.
When it
well,
happened.
SNL, it happens there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know,
so, like, we have, like, so MJF cuts this promo. Cool. I'm not going to lie. And we talked about this on Nerdiest Part of the Ring, and, like, I don't like this because it totally undercuts Wardlow, which was, like, the most organic fucking thing that AEW has ever done. And I don't watch WWE at this point. Like, I was talking to Shannon. I watched one match from Hell in a Cell, and that was it. Yeah. I exclusively watch AEW, and then if there's indie shit on YouTube, I'll catch when I can.
Mm.
I love AEW. I do not care about this angle. Nothing of, like, I hate it because I was really excited to see what they could do with Wardlow, but at the end of the night, after Double or Nothing, nobody was talking about Wardlow.
Nope.
Like, did Wardlow have a great showing? Yeah, that was a really impressive match. I wish that that was the focal point, but it's not. I get that MJF is the bigger star, and I get that they may have lightning in a bottle with this, but this is also going to be a really tricky thing to do correctly.
Yes. Yes.
Like, this is the Doctor Strange during Infinity War. There's a million outcomes.
They got to find the one
that works. One of them works.
I don't think Tony Khan knows which one it works.
No, because I think, if I can remember correctly, he is a fucking mark, is what I've heard him called. And bad for them, and Jim Cornette mentioned this on his show, the Cornette Corny Drive-Thru, whatever it's called, that big problem of this is that when MJF was saying all that stuff about, you know, maybe if I was the next WWE guy, you'd pay me more, or when he called Tony fucking mark, this is in front of Turner executives, by the way, when they're doing, like, this big business deal. The crowd cheered. The crowd is cheering MJF airing his dirty laundry, which makes them look bad. This reminds me of WCW when Scott Steiner would go out there and talk about how much the show sucked. And, like, in a bubble, everyone's like, oh, he's cutting a promo, whatever. But, like, for fans that are watching, man, they're hearing Scott Steiner talk about how bad WCW is. So why would anybody want to watch it?
Here's the thing.
This was the old NWO deal of, okay, these guys are invading the story. They're invading the company, and they're taking over. They're ostensibly, they're meant to be heels. But then you give them stuff that your core audience is going to find cool, from music to colors to logos to wrestlers, the people, you know, this counterculture movement. Then you expect people to still boo those guys?
Right.
Well, that's not going to work. So then, okay, you got to split the faction. And then sooner or later, it becomes a whole thing. Don't get me wrong. I don't think, you know, this singular situation with MJF is going to turn into a whole faction or whatever. But like you said, it's not a great look to send a guy out, insult pretty much everything you're doing, or at least a core part of what you're doing, and expect him to be treated like the bad guy.
Right, he's going to get cheered, and then
that's
And then it makes you look bad. Dalton, you look like you have something to say about that.
People love counterculture, man.
The only thing I have to say to that, though, is like the Turner executives, as long as the swear didn't happen in American audiences, they don't care. Like, as long or in front of American TVs, they don't care. And honestly, they don't care what anybody has to say about the promotion as long as it's doing ratings, which it's still holding the same ratings it's doing. And from all like purposes, it's doing well.
Press is bad press.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's kind of what they're going with it. I just don't care. Like, we're going to talk about it tomorrow probably. And my response is still going to be,
Where are you going to talk about it?
Nerdy's Part of the Ring.
Oh, okay. That's a good show. But remember, WCW also thought that shit too. They thought, this is good stuff. Like, this is going to do well.
Steiner was cutting that shit in 99 and 2000 when it was a sinking ship. Like, AEW still at least has some groundswell behind him. And I like 90% of what AEW does.
I like some of what they do. I'll be honest, man. I want to like AEW more than I do. And there are some things that I really do like. And then there are some things that I really don't like. I think the influx of WWE guys that they are paying, I think MJF is right on. Like, he is right on the money with his criticism of, you know, they're probably playing, we said this last week, Hunter, they're probably paying Big Show and Mark Henry more than they're paying MJF. And MJF,
I know they are,
completely
that's a given deal. That was, I know they are, in as much as that is what has been reported.
Right.
In terms of dollars, that it wasn't just, you know, the CM Punks and the Chris Jerichos and all that. It was also, again, the Mark Henrys and the Big Shows, guys who wrestle one or two matches at most of the time and are barely ever seen other than being for talent scouts.
Right.
Those guys are making more than a major homegrown talent.
Right.
That ain't a great look. That's a bad deal.
I mean, and you're not, like, I'm not saying you're wrong, but at the same time, like, they, like, NFL, like, every major sports league, they call them contract years. You see a player go out and play like a madman on their contract year because they're trying to get more money. It's not it's every company. Like, WWE does the same thing. They try to find the lowest amount that they can pay you so they can make the most money off
of
you.
Yeah, of course.
And that's, like, AEW is doing the same damn thing.
Right.
And I get that MJF probably, I mean, I wouldn't blame him. He probably is the most compelling part of that show, and he has been for, like, the last year and a half. But it's not up to AEW to pay him more just because he's drawing numbers. They all signed a contract.
Yeah, I think the difference is that MJF is one of the only ones that has the balls to, like, say, all right, well, fuck you then.
Oh, yeah. And again,
right, and I also wonder, like, how close is he coming to a renewal on that contract? I mean, is this...
Mm-hmm.
2024.
From what point? When did he re-sign? Do we know for a fact when he re-signed his current one?
It would have probably been last year or this year. Also, and, like, to kind of tack
on...
That'd
be my question.
Yeah, to tack on to that, like, because we talked about the Sasha and Naomi thing on Nerdiest Part 2, and I am a big firm believer of, if you don't want to do something, contract or not, you really don't have to do it. Now, does it look poorly on you? Yes. But at the end of the day, like, all these guys are independent contractors, and if they don't want to do something, or if MJF doesn't want to do something, I really don't blame them for not doing it. That's not my problem. My issue is, now that he has said it, it's the whole thing that The Rock got a lot of flack whenever CM Punk did that podcast with Colt Cabana and, like, didn't shit on him, but said, like, yeah, The Rock getting the main event over Mania over, like, getting the main event of Mania over me was kind of, like, I wanted that. And then people kind of, like, got, like, the fucking marks, I gotta say it one time, got mad at The Rock for making CM Punk quit when that wasn't the case. Now everybody's being like, oh, AEW just hires all these ex-WWE guys. Well, no, the guys that they are signing, minus, like, the Mark Henrys and Big Shows that are doing commentary and talent scouts, they're getting really good talent of some of the best wrestlers in the world. Like, Keith Lee is a bona fide star that made his name made his name on the indies, made it in WWE. He has a marketable name. Malachi Black, probably one of the coolest things going right now, has a marketable name.
Lots of WWE guys.
that's not their fault that they made a name somewhere. You can't, like, I don't like that thought of.
I think the overall problem, though, is that they already have such a, they had a pretty deep roster of talent in the first place.
Homegrown,
and not necessarily a lot of places to showcase them. I mean, they've got several shows, but, you know, when you're talking TV, they have 3 hours. WWE has how many per week? Is it 7 at this point?
20.
Network television?
9 if you can. Wait a minute.
God, worse.
7. 7. It's 7.
7 is what I thought. So, I mean, still twice that much. And you've got AEW now getting a really packed roster. How soon before we see not just the couple of, you know, your Joey Janela's and a couple of guys leaving here and there or being told, hey, we don't have anything for you, but before they start doing bigger cuts. And yeah, if you see most of those cuts come from their homegrown roster, you start wondering, you know, is that going to entice more people to come there, or is this just going to be the new system of I go indie, I go to one of the bigger ones, I leave there, I go to one of the other bigger ones, I leave there again when they have nothing for me, and I'm just kind of bouncing. You know, and don't get me wrong, there might be a lot of people who are totally comfortable with that. I go to one of these places, I make the money I can make, and then I go right back to doing what I was doing on the indies, and things are fine. But it is a little, when you look at it the way that it's being presented now from, you know, in story, from in the storyline, a guy like MJF, and just in general from the kind of groundswell consensus, there are so many spots that are being filled up by guys who, I think, Shannon, you and I used Christian as a good example for this. I love Christian. Christian Cage is one of my all-time favorite talents. Matter of fact, Facebook keeps hitting me with my memories from a couple of years ago where I was doing like my top 10 because you had tagged me originally. Christian's on that list. What is he doing with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus?
Standing
what
there.
Is he doing with those guys?
His
with
best.
This Jurassic Express? Yeah, it's just, it's not... Sometimes they kind of get shoehorned into weird little situations and it feels like we got to have this guy here or we got to do something with him. And I don't get why. And that to me is a good example of,
you
had Marco. I mean, let's just call it by name. You had Marco there with them doing kind of the same thing that Christian's doing, just being part of that group. And now you don't because you have Christian.
Yeah. And I don't care.
I don't know.
You cannot convince me because someone was making the argument that, well, they've got Dark and they've got Dark Elevation and they're both important shows. You cannot convince me that Dark or Dark Elevation are important shows. Whenever you stick people like Tony Storm or Ruby Soho or, you know, Serpentico or a lot of these guys on these shows and you're like, oh, well, we give them TV time. They're on Dark Elevation. I mean, so was my neighbor.
On YouTube.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my neighbor was on there
and
once.
That's the thing. You're still using like indie, like one-off local talent for those shows. So there are times, and I get it, you know, the squash match is a staple of televised wrestling. You're never going to get away from it at this point. But you're using those people in slots that you have people on the roster that could be used there instead. This is the same kind of argument that we make about any televised company, right, WWE, and, Impact, whatever.
And to be fair, I love that they're
hitting harder for this one right now.
I love that they highlight indie talent. Our friend Dalton, our friend Joey O'Reilly has been on there. Cassandra Golden has been on there.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like, I know who's like going to be on Dark Elevation next week because it's in Kansas City and I have friends telling me who's there.
Right.
And like, I have people that I legitimately enjoy seeing in locker rooms there. And it's a cool experience because it's one of those that like iron sharpens iron. Like these people are getting to wrestle in front of a couple thousand people in front of TV time. And like that's a certain kind of wrestling that if you're on the indies, you don't do because we cater to a different camera, if you will, right, on the indies.
Right.
Like, it's cool that people are getting chances to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to take that away from them. I totally get what everybody's saying, though. Because, like, yeah, Dark Elevation aren't being on Dynamite or Rampage.
Right.
It's just not the same, like, by a long shot. Because, yeah, one's on YouTube and one is on primetime television.
Yeah, and it frustrates me whenever they hire somebody like, you know, Toni Storm. You know, they hired her out of she left WWE. She walked out on them. And they bring her over and now she's on Dark Elevation. And like, I love that Toni Storm is wrestling, but like, you've got Toni Storm, do something with her. Ruby Soho, do something with her. There are so many talented people that they're signing.
They did do something with Ruby Soho. They fed her to Britt Baker so that Britt Baker could win the tournament.
Well, because Adam Cole did. And they're together. Yeah. They're married. Anyway, look, we can't talk about Shut up. We can't talk about this. We can't talk about this forever. We got to move on. So let's move on and talk about, we'll keep you updated on the MJF situation. This is two shows in a row. We've gone like 30, 40 minutes on MJF. And he's a cool guy, but goddamn it, we got things to talk about. Dalton, you say you didn't watch much of Hell in a Cell. You did watch the Cody Rhodes match. That's fine because our Lord and Savior Cody Rhodes came out and did the impossible. He's a legend now, apparently. Before we talk about that, though, I do want to mention Hell in a Cell was, I thought, legitimately a great show. Terrible build-up, great wrestling. It was really, really good. I enjoyed it. I watched all of it on Monday, and I really thought there was some good stuff in there. The Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, and Asuka was a fantastic match, and I do want to mention that I put this on my Facebook. There, when Bianca was making her entrance, they showed this little kid out in the crowd, and she's got a sign up that says, "I'm the Little-est." And I thought, you know what, man? Yeah, okay, I get it. That's why wrestling always meant so much to me, because of shit like that, man. Even WWE, that fucks up on a continuous basis, habitually. They're habitual fuck-uppers. They can still make a kid's day and make a kid feel special, and that's awesome. But anyway.
That's my next tattoo, habitual fuck-uppers.
Habitual fuck-uppers. But I thought Hell in a Cell was really good, but, you know, we can't talk about the whole thing. But I do want to mention Cody Rhodes, because, like, legitimately, Cody Rhodes, you don't have to do it, man. It's like it's Tom Green hiding inside of a dead deer carcass for ratings. It's like, you don't have to do this. Everyone already likes you.
All right, let me be the guy. I didn't dislike it. Don't get me wrong. I didn't dislike it as a whole. I think the visual was very cool. I think the wrestling around it was good. I think he's an absolute trooper for doing what he did. Here comes my kind of cornet, I guess, complaint. That's alliterative. I like that. Why didn't Seth Rollins just slap on a cross arm breaker? Why didn't Seth Rollins just hit him with an abdominal stretch? Like, I get that I have to suspend my belief, my disbelief to a certain degree watching pro wrestling, right? I mean, you just have to. Past a certain age, you have to suspend your disbelief and step away to it to a certain degree. But you play this whole thing up where he's clearly injured, and you have Seth go after it more than once in many ways that Cody can hide it easily. Oh, he's running a kendo stick into it. Well, yeah, because Cody's got his hand on the stick, so he can very clearly control how much it is and isn't pressing on it. Seth didn't even try. Like, Seth didn't even really try to hit him with, like, one submission. One little just stretch that arm just the right way, or stretch that part of the pec. That bothers me.
Yeah,
because now I can't watch that and go, okay, but when's he gonna do the thing? Why is he not doing it? Oh, he's not doing it because he's actually injured, and that would legitimately hurt him. Yeah. He doesn't really want to hurt him. That's I don't know, man. Watching it in that light, I know that it's just like the, you know, reminding yourself Santa doesn't exist right before Christmas, but yeah, it just still
I hate that you mentioned it. I hate that you talked about it.
Honestly. You're welcome.
Because I thought it was a fantastic match, and I also
it really is. If you can leave that part out, it's great.
I watched this at my 9 to 5, and when they saw Cody Rhodes take off his jacket, the silence that hit the room, followed by "ugh," was, you know, like, was that fake? Yeah. Is that like a tattoo? I'm like, no, bro.
That's no, the tattoo's further up.
Yeah, his only regrettable tattoo is a little north.
But I thought it was good. It was a good match. Seth Rollins also, you know, everyone keeps talking about Cody Rhodes. I think Seth deserves credit for wrestling a match with a guy that it was that condition and not hurting him. Seth Rollins is clearly one of the best in the game. I love Seth Rollins, and I really think his
promo on Monday too was really great.
It was fantastic.
The whole Cody thing. You thought, okay, you know, he's 3-0 with him. He's finally going to say he respects him.
Nope.
And then he comes back and just beats the shit out of him again. But again, why didn't you just put him in a cross arm breaker?
All right, well, we're not gonna talk about that. We're not gonna talk about that. Dalton, what'd you think?
It was a really good match. Like, it was a really great match. Everybody involved should be really happy with it. That being said, there was no good reason for that match to happen.
No reason except that Cody Rhodes wanted to once again prove himself, even though he really doesn't need to. And to be fair, he put himself in legendary status at this point.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, here's how I make up for the whole, you know, reminding you he could have hit him with a submission. Because of all this, when Cody and Roman Reigns finally end up even just face to face in the ring, it's going to be an absolute, like, explosion Like, you might legitimately hear the loudest pop you've heard in WWE in a long time. Because that's obviously what they're building toward at this
point. And hope they don't fuck it up. Jesus Christ. Like, let Cody take the title off of him. Dude, I swear to God, if they do Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, just to have it build towards Roman Reigns versus The Rock, I will do nothing because there's nothing I could actually do, but I will be angry and I will complain on the internet. Dalton, what do you think?
Yeah, no, same. The reports coming out, which you take them with a grain of salt, is he's out for 6 months. That puts him right back in time for the Rumble.
Sure.
Yeah. Especially if it goes well. And hopefully he does. Like, I have not been the biggest Cody fan in the last couple of years in AEW or WWE. And, I hope that this surgery goes super well. And I hope that he gets back 100% healed whenever that is. That being said, I do not like the fact that they had this match. Like,
well,
it was a great match. It was a great match, and I heard the argument of, well, it's not like he could get more injured. And again, it goes back to my least favorite thing in wrestling this week. It was already tore. Like, it was already torn off the bone.
There was a doctor that did it. I think I know what Dalton's talking about. There was a doctor that did a video explaining why he was able to wrestle, and it's because he had already damaged it to the point that, like, he couldn't damage it anymore. But you could still damage other parts by making up for that. Right,
that's what he was saying. Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, you can overcompensate and fuck something else up. And it very could have happened. And again, it's a testament to how good both Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins are. That he was able to walk out, you hope, in the exact same way he walked in, which wasn't in great shape, but he's there. But my whole thing of it is like, God, you just spent all... There's been this weird thing with wrestling in the last couple of years where I don't get what these companies are doing. Cody Rhodes has done nothing but talk shit on WWE for 2.5 years, and WWE re-signs him. That's confusing to me. AEW is running this thing with MJF. That's confusing to me. WWE spending all of this money, you assume, to get Cody Rhodes in. He gets injured, unfortunately, which is, I mean, it's an accident. Shit happens. And they're like, well, we've already put this money into you. So, like, we need you as healthy as possible. And we know you're super fucked up right now. Because I'm sorry, there's no way you can tell me he wasn't fucked up. That thing was purple.
Still is.
You can go wrestle. It's fine. Just go wrestle. Like, you're not even protecting your investment.
Well, okay. And again, my question on this, though, to you and to everybody, whose call was this? Who said, no, I want to do this? Was it Cody that said, no, I want to do this? Or was it WWE that said, hey, would you do this?
It was Cody.
Oh, it's what, well, I mean, it was Cody, but it's what Shannon just said. I mean, do you think you can wrestle? Because, like, there's precedent on that. Like, CM Punk talked about that.
Right.
Hey, they're leaning on me to do this European tour, even though I'm fucked up.
Right.
I'm sure that Cody didn't want to not do the match. I'm sure he really wanted to do the match. And then WWE was like, well, I mean, we don't have to tell him to not do it. Now, that's me speculating. I don't know for sure. But, there's so much responsibility on someone's well-being. And, like, Seth, and that's why, that's what Hunter said. That's why he didn't fucking put him in a hold. Because even a little bit of tension on that probably really sucks.
Yeah.
So that's why Seth didn't do it. But it should have never gotten there. WWE should have stepped in and been like, all right, we respect what you're trying to do, but don't. Or if you have to have the match, have it be a 3-second roll-up and then have Seth beat the shit out of him for a minute and a half and then shelve him. There was no reason to have as long of a match they did. Now, that being said, thank God it was a good match. Because if that would have been bad or he would have gotten hurt more, WWE, rightfully so, would have been raked over the coals for it.
One of the biggest criticisms I've seen of AEW and that I've had of AEW myself is that it doesn't feel like they take care of their talent when it comes to their health. You remember Matt Hardy got knocked silly in his match with Sammy Guevara, and that was a big thing. Sting, letting him do the crazy shit he does. Jeff Hardy just got pulled from a match because he's got his shit rocked at the pay-per-view, and they're like, okay, you're not stepping in and saying, no, Matt Hardy, don't continue this match. No, Sting, do not jump off of this scaffolding at your age. You got to hold WWE just as responsible. There is no one looked at Cody Rhodes when he came out and pulled his jacket off and thought, yeah, this is a good idea. Like, the dude had a brand new purple tattoo going down the side. He looked like a Yakuza member. There was no way WWE should have said that.
And he had the perfect gear for it when he won the TNT champion. That shit was just as purple. He would have matched his shit.
They could have tied this into the new Saints Row game. coming out.
He could have been one of the saints.
He could have been a saint. They tattooed it on his arm. So yeah, I get it, man. I get it from
instead,
all angles.
He's a martyr.
But I thought it was good. But yeah, I agree with all these things. Last thing before we get out of here, because we do things very informally here now. We just kind of riff. The last thing I want to talk about, because I really loved this. This is my favorite thing in wrestling this week, and I was shocked by it. So we're playing Call of Duty, and Hunter says, "Oh, did you hear what happened on Raw with the Judgment Day?" I was like, "No, what?" He said they got a new member, and I went, "Oh, was it Tommaso Ciampa?" Because that's been the big rumors that Ciampa was going to be one of them. He's like, "No, it's Finn Balor." I immediately rolled my eyes and went, "Well, that's stupid. He just wrestled him last night. I don't care." And he said, "But wait." Then they turned on Edge, and I went, "Wait, what?" So I went and watched the video, and holy shit, was that an incredible segment. Every part of it, from Finn Balor's explanation to him saying, like, you know, we were talking. I talked to Rhea and Damian, and we realized we have a lot in common. And then Damian, the way he turned on Edge and said, you know, we're ready to finally let go of the last thing that's holding us back. And he looks at Edge and says, yeah, it is you. And the crowd's reaction of like, wait, what? Is the same as Edge's face. It was that, wait, what? And then Damian fucking rocks him. And you can see the crowd legitimately. I think for one of the few times in WWE where it's not fed in crowd noise, the crowd legitimately gets on their feet and they don't know what's going on and they're interested. And it was so good the way they did it. I loved it. This is my favorite thing I've seen in wrestling in a long time. I just want to throw that out there and see how much you guys also loved it.
I think it's good. I'm interested. I also have my criticisms, though. I didn't love it. Right out of the gate, I know Finn, you know, kind of gave some explanation for it in the moment, but
that's the flimsy. Fact that
it's flimsy, especially because there was no, like, hint of, oh, betrayal, you know, the night before or anything. He just lost a match the night before, and then apparently he's just in. I also, while I think the surprise and the spectacle was really cool, I don't get it. I don't understand how Edge is holding them back. I don't understand how Edge is the problem. I suspect that they're going to explain this going forward. But if they don't, that's going to be a real problem for me. Because there was no, like, you're the one holding us back. No, he's the one who got you all together.
Well,
who's been winning matches for you. Like, he legitimately, Edge got the pin the night before. He's the one who hit the spear.
Yeah, but I think my thought process on it, and of course this is just my headcanon, is that because Edge made it all about him, it felt like it was definitely Edge was the Judgment Day and the other guys were just his lackeys, and their turning point was, well, we don't want to be lackeys anymore. We're tired of people telling us what to do. So we're going to take over. And they knew that with Edge being the Hall of Famer, you know. But again, they won't ever say that.
I hope you're right.
They'll never say it.
Hope they do. I hope they do say that. Because again, otherwise it feels like there's very little distinct explanation for exactly what's going on. And then there's just one other thing that jumps to mind worth mentioning. And that is that I really hope this leak about the supernatural stuff.
I saw that.
Is either taken seriously or does not come to play at all. So the story is that supposedly they want the Judgment Day to be more of a supernatural group.
Please
and
don't.
I guess they thought that wasn't going to work with Edge, maybe. The two stories are kind of now being conflated of they kicked Edge out of the group. People weren't expecting that. And this whole thing about supernaturality. If that is the case and we're getting, like, I guess, Demon Balor again, that's kind of cool. But at the same time, yeah, I'm a little concerned about what that means. Because, I mean, Edge was coming out of a hole of fire in the ring for many years. Like, he was throwing blood on people and stuff. Like, if you really wanted a supernatural guy, you kicked the wrong one out of the group. Damian Priest just, like, did a bow and arrow thing.
Well, he's the Archer. Hunter, he's the Archer of Infamy. What don't you understand?
What any of that means in regards to wrestling, that's what.
You guys remember the last time we saw Demon Balor and he dry humped the ground to the heartbeat? That happened. That was a thing.
Wait, hold on, Dalton. Was that also...
For no other reason was than that, I'm glad Dalton was here tonight.
Yeah.
Was that the same match where he fell off the top turnbuckle because it broke and they never explained any of it?
Yeah. Well, he used all of his energy dry humping the ground on the outside.
Oh, he's tired.
Yeah, the rope, he slipped. Yeah.
I hate it so much.
So that being said, I hate all of this.
No, you're wrong.
I'm okay with being wrong. That doesn't change my opinion. At least my opinion isn't like Glenn Jacobs. But like, I hate all of this. Because yeah, I thought, oh cool, we get Demon Balor, and then I remember the last time we got Demon Balor, and I'm like, ah, we're good.
That's why I'm sort of hoping that ends up not being a thing, that they were like, oh, we were going to make it more like that, but now we realize that wouldn't really work for everybody, so we'll just make them a bunch of... Deviant Balor?
Demon Balor. The last time we saw this absolute monster of WWE, he took a tumble and lost a match. So I'm like, I'm kind of good on never seeing Demon Balor again in WWE.
I really hope that this is, like you said, just young upstarts. These are young upstarts. Well, except Damian Priest is like 50, but still.
So is Finn Balor. They're both like 40, 42. Like, Finn is also not young.
What's up? I mean, rookie, 40 is still right young.
Either. That's not good.
It's just not like Rhea Ripley, 19-year-old young or whatever she is.
Here's what it is. Former NXT, like, you know, black, they're not going to call it black and gold, but former NXT devotees who have not yet found their place, you know, on the main roster. And so they're like, all right, cool. We'll just band together and beat the shit out of anybody who gets in our way. That's fine.
Which makes sense.
I don't need any more explanation than that. Now, at this point, though, I do, and they won't, but I do sort of hope they stop going by the Judgment Day. I never liked that name in the first place, and I really don't care for it now.
Call them the Balor Club.
Because then you got a leader. Then you're devoting yourself to another leader again.
Yeah,
and that
but it's
totally
different.
No, it's
different because he's Irish. He's not Canadian.
And to go back on it, Finn Balor is 40, Damian Priest is 39, Rhea Ripley's 25.
Yeah,
one of those is a young upstart.
One of these things is not like the other.
One of my favorite fan theories about why they did this the way that they did, if you've seen the picture, the backstage picture of it's Balor, Ripley, and Priest, they were like, the problem was that we need Rhea Ripley to look tall, and Edge is too tall. We needed a shorter guy in there, because Balor makes her look gigantic, even though she's 5'7". They're like, Edge was too much. We had to get about a 6-inch height difference out of the way.
And in all seriousness, to bring this back to serious discussion like journalists, Edge was, this was not working. This was not working with Edge and the leader. Like, I had no interest in the Judgment Day. I thought it was thrown together. It didn't feel organic. It felt very rushed. It felt very forced, and I was not into it. I think Edge works better on his own or as Edge. I think this new fat version of it with Priest, Ripley, and Balor, I'm already way more interested than I was before. And part of it was because I think they did such a good job with the shock turn, because it was shocking. And I normally hate the shock TV stuff where it's like, oh, people turning for no reason. I normally hate that. Something about this really resonated with me. It was legitimately surprising. The crowd was legitimately into it. It didn't feel, I don't know, it just felt right. And I'm really excited to see where they go with this from now on. Now, it could be horrible. It could be horrible, but we'll have to wait and see. Well, you know, and see
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm curious. I am cautiously optimistic, but that's as kind as I'm willing to be for the time being, because I haven't seen enough of it yet. Well, I did like the spectacle. I'll give you that much. I was genuinely surprised, and that was neat.
They also, if you watch the YouTube version of it, they actually cut the part where Damian Priest hits him with the chair at the end. They go to the part where he screams, and then they pause it and then go after they hit him, because it looked vicious. Like, that was a vicious beatdown. And the fact that Edge was constantly fighting back, like, that was good shit, man. It wasn't just he got beat down. He was constantly fighting back. Like, he wasn't giving up, but the numbers game got him. I really want to know where they go with this. Maybe I'm alone. We'll see what happens. And I think that's going
to
do it for
us. They got to have something to challenge for. Roman's been on vacation for a couple months there with both belts, and you know.
Well, what's he supposed to do? Beat everyone again? He's got one guy, and that's Cody Rhodes. Also, I guess really quick, we're like, fuck all. You build up this Ezekiel thing, and you have him lose clean as a whistle to Kevin Owens on the pay-per-view. Cool, man. Like, great planning.
Well, it's probably so at least one of them can go back to NXT. Apollo Crews just showed up on NXT last night.
Sans accent.
Yeah, no accent, no Commander Aziz, and I really want Bron Breakker to be like, who are you? And he'll be like, I'm Apollo's brother. My name is Uha Nation.
I'm Apollo Crews's brother. I was going to think of a different ship, and I couldn't think of one.
Challenger.
I'm
no,
Challenger
wait,
Cruise. Oh, God, no. Why would you do that? All right, that's gonna do it for us. We're wrapping up on that one. That's going to be it. Tomorrow, Hunter. Well, actually, last night we did an all-new PZ85 play. Steven Bright's back on the podcast.
Mostly. <He's here. laughs> Yep, we had a new episode of our Fallout, Modiphius Fallout game, with a bang or a whimper is the name of the module that we're playing through. This is only episode 2, so you can definitely go back and get caught up, since we wrapped up our big Star Wars campaign, and so this is going to carry us through the next, I don't know, probably month at most. We're gearing up for Cody's Curse of Strahd game, Curry's, and Steven was back on the podcast for the first time in a long time, introduced as a new character alongside of Shannon and Lindsay's Fallout characters. So go check that out. It was a good time. It was a lot of fun. It was very wacky, as Fallout tends to be.
Yes.
And we'll have a new one next week too.
Yes, and of course tomorrow you're going to catch an all new Podzilla 1985 After Dark. On Friday, possibly could be horse time again.
It's horse time.
We don't know. It's a secret to everybody. But until then, Dalton, where can the fans find you and our good friend Asa Gray?
You can find us on Nerdiest Part of the Week. Or Jesus fucking Christ.
You had one job.
I'm going to tell Asa.
This is why Asa does my plugs. you can find us on Nerdiest Part of the Ring. Every Thursday night, Friday morning on all your favorite podcasting apps. We're going to be a lot more happy.
Except Spotify.
We don't do that noise. Fuck a Joe Rogan. God, no, I'm over it now after I fucked that up. Jeez, I was having such a good show. I hadn't said anything stupid yet. And like, I even got a dry humping reference in and got at least a giggle.
You did.
And I was like, I was going to go in with a perfect show for me, and I fucked it up at the end.
Thought you were invincible. You flew too close to the sun like Icarus.
You girl boss too close to the sun, man.
I feel like a fucking WWE storyline now. God damn it.
Butchered and botched.
Couldn't stick the landing.
All right. And for our CCW fans that are listening, fuck you, Dalton. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with an all new episode. Until then, for myself, for Dalton, the Big D, and Double H, we are out of here. Hunter, take us out.
All right, you guys are blocked. Later.